Hello and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where you look at movies and TV from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And I'm your host, Craig Fay.
And this week we are talking about the TV cult classic Friends.
Friends, yeah. We've had a lot of reaction on our social media with people. As soon as we announced this is kind of what we're doing, wow, people are excited for this one. So we're very excited to do it too, yeah.
I'm so excited to talk about this because my main theory and pitch for this whole episode is that Ross is a gigantic supreme dick and really is truly the villain of this whole series.
Okay. And
thoughts and opinions, Craig.
Thoughts and opinions. Okay. So I think, do I agree that Ross does some pretty heinous, I'll use the word heinous shit in this. Yes, absolutely. But I also feel like I would be, is Ross the villain of Friends? Yes. But I feel like I would be betraying the premise of the podcast if I did not take a slightly different view. And here's my argument. I think that ultimately the main villain of Friends is Chandler.
Whoa, what are you even saying to me right now? What is happening? Right. Everybody, stop what you're doing. Put your dishes down. Okay, take a seat, because what the fuck is happening?
I know this is not going to be a popular opinion. I'm already shook for it. But I have some pretty good reasoning behind it.
Okay. Lay it on me, Craig. I want to hear about this.
But we got to do Ross first.
You're going to make me wait? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, fine. I guess we can do Ross first.
I mean, and I guess like regularly, we can't really describe the plot of Friends for anyone who hasn't seen it.
If you haven't seen it, like, I don't know what to say.
I mean, I guess ostensibly it's a group of friends who live in New York City, and we follow them for, 10 years that the show was on. Mm-hmm. So kind of from this early 20s, their careers change, their relationships come in and out. I don't know, if you haven't seen Friends or heard of Friends, why are you listening to this episode, really?
Yeah, we're not going to catch you. Step off. This isn't going to be for you. Oh my God, dude. Okay, I've watched so many episodes. Like, if I hear that theme song one more time, I'm going to lose it. Like, I skipped it as fast as I could every time. I was like, nope, can't do it.
Okay, interesting, because that is a theme song that I always feel bad about skipping. Like, there's some where I'm like, I don't care. The Simpsons, and I think probably this, are like ones where I'm maybe Parks and Rec too, but I'm always going to listen to it just because, like,
oh, no, I'll only stick around for a song that's like Big Mouth. You know what I mean? Like, that's a song. Like, I love that song, so I'll listen to it. Whereas, I'll be there for you. I'm pretty sure the band didn't even like that song, Matt. I'm pretty sure they came out and they were like, no, we don't really like this.
Although, you got to admit, it's better than Shiny Happy People. So, have you seen the pilot? So, no. REM's Shiny Happy People.
Okay.
It was the original theme song to this. And on the pilot, it's the same opening where they're dancing around a fountain, but it's this really downbeat, like, have you heard an REM song? It's an REM song. And it doesn't capture the energy at all. It's super weird. After we're done recording this, go on YouTube and watch it. It is eerie. It's like a fan edit or something, but it's the original one. So they had REM as the original theme song, and then went with I'll Be There For You.
Well, that's definitely a good choice. I'm not saying immediately it's a perfect song, because as soon as you hear it, you think of Friends. Like, it's iconic. But for me, if you watch too many episodes in a row, you're just like, I had to start skipping that shit pretty quick.
Yeah, fair enough.
Anyway, back to Ross.
So let's hear it out, Rebecca. So
okay, so many things to say. I have so many notes. First of all, I'm going to start at the end, okay? Because this is what pissed me off the most. And I remember watching the series when I was younger. You know what I mean? Like, I always hated Ross. even at, like, from first watch, not even like a critical watch, like I'm going to try and find some points where I won't like this person. Like, from Jump Street, I've always hated Ross. He is so whiny as a character. He's the whiny. I can't. Can't stand a whiner. Complainer all day. No problem. Complain to me, baby. Love it. No problem. Right. Well, you can bitch to me all day. But the second your voice changes in tone, there's like a chill sent down my spine of like, did you not grow up at any point? Like, what the fuck is going on? You're an adult person. Okay. Here's my thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Series finale. Okay. We have the big culmination of will they, won't they?
Ross and Rachel, the couple.
Ross and Rachel, back and forth, season. We've come to the point where Rachel has been offered her dream job in Paris. Okay. The hub of fashion. Okay. This is what this woman has been working towards for 10 seasons. Okay. She started as a server at a coffee house. No skills, clawed her way up, sacrificed, you know, personal relationships, other things, okay? And he can't work out some sort of deal where they, like, do some sort of long distance or he goes with her for 1 year or any other scenario instead of stay for me, I'm all you need.
Yeah, and that's a real shit move. I'm not going to deny that. Like, that's a real shit move. I was like, first of all, if you really love somebody, you would let them go. Like, there is a certain point, there's a certain relationship level that you would get to where the other person has to be involved in the decision. You know what I mean? Like, if you're married or engaged or something like that, you would go, well, I would hope that you would include me on a decision to move halfway around the world. But for them being so on and off throughout the entire thing, it's like, that's an insane ask.
It is.
Yeah.
Especially when he's been dishonest about his feelings time and time again. He won't be an adult, okay? He will not speak openly about the things that he wants until it's the very last minute, okay?
But to be fair, Rachel does that too.
She does it a lot less than Ross. Yeah. She is the one that opens most of these conversations. Whenever they're talking realistically, it's because she's brought it to the table.
Yes.
I'm not saying Rachel is a perfect person, okay? Rachel fucks up too. They all fuck up because that's the point of the show, is you're supposed to watch people that have faults, right? That do the wrong thing and then hopefully eventually get to the right thing. And in this theory, the series finale should be all the right things. And that is not how you end that storyline for me. Most women I know watching that were pissed, were super pissed.
Yeah, I understandably so.
Because, like, he even mentions that, you know, oh, I have to stay for Ben. Okay, let me just talk about Ben for a hot sec, okay? He's saying that he has to stay for Ben when we see Ben maybe one episode per season tops. This man does not care for this child, okay? To the point where even one of the episodes where Rachel gives birth, his dad, so the grandfather of Ben, okay, forgets that Ben exists, okay, because he's never around.
Yeah, first grandchild. Okay,
this is not a reasonable, this is insane to say, and which is a great point in, I'm kind of jumping around here a little bit, but at one point, Janice, who I think is supposed to be a villain most of the time, and honestly, I agree with her in most points.
Yeah, I didn't rewatch enough of the Janice episodes, but that kind of struck me on the one where Rachel gives birth. And she shows up, and I was like, "All right, Janice. I bet she's not that bad, other than having an annoying voice." But I didn't really revisit it a whole lot, so I can't comment too much.
Honestly, she's a little annoying. Her voice is kind of annoying, but most of the points she makes are excellent points. Okay, like when she gives that little talk to Rachel, that kind of freaks her out. Where she's like, "Listen, like you got to be aware of this. Like as soon as he starts dating somebody else, and he gets his real family, and da 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 da." And you're supposed to see that as, okay, Janice is going too far. This isn't Ross. And it's like, well, I mean, he forgot Ben pretty quick. Like, you know what I mean? This isn't also the first time that he jumps ship whenever he feels like. Like when Rachel was pregnant, he dated Mona, okay? And then got pissed if Rachel wanted to date anybody because he's like, oh, you're dating my baby too. And it's like, okay, so you're allowed to go around and date whoever you want because my body is physically altered. I'm not allowed to do what I want.
Yeah, the Ross has some pretty terrible double standards in terms of jealousy and things like that. So that's kind of where we all end up, right? Where they end up getting together. I think that's a shit move. But to make my point, I think we got to rewind to like one of the first real inciting incidents. I think it's just when Ross and Rachel first try and get together. Rachel has confessed that she has feelings for Ross, and Ross is currently dating somebody else. Right?
Yes.
And he doesn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So he makes a pro and con list both, which Rachel...
Don't do that. Don't do
Rachel
that.
Which Rachel figures out, right? Mm-hmm. And it causes a big thing. And I don't... Sorry, my notes are sketchy. Do they then not get together? They're off and on so much, I can't even keep track.
They don't, they get together. So they have that falling out where she's like, I can't stand this. Okay. Can you imagine having everything, every negative thing you've ever thought about yourself written down on a list, and the person that you're supposed to like either be in love with or whatever has written, thinks all those things about you too, right?
Yes.
And then he's like, okay, well, you know, you can write a list about me. And then they get together when she watches the video from her prom.
Right. Right. Okay. So that's the whole thing. Okay. So here we get a really interesting look at Ross's character and what I think ultimately narrows the true villain of this down to Chandler.
Oh my God. I can't.
Because Ross goes to that. Anytime Ross does something that is bad and or goes poorly, it is because one of the other friends has told him to do that. So the pro-con list, whose idea was that? Joey and Chandler. They're the two who are saying, this will help you figure it out. Whose computer is it on? It's Chandler's computer, right? So all through, this is my thesis. As we go through all these events, we are going to be able to see that Ross is not the villain. Ross is a blank slate on which all the other friends project their worst possible things, their worst impulses, their worst decisions. And Ross, if anything, is guilty of being a kind of a blank slate or very impressionable and uncritical person. So that's the first one where, where it's Joey and Chandler who are saying do the pro and con list.
So when Ross kisses Chandler's mother, who coerced him into that one? Or when he dated Janice, was that one of his friends that told him to do that? Or was that on his own volition? I can't remember. Craig, this is the man you are defending. This is ridiculous. Okay, also, he's the one that wrote the list down, okay? He could have.
He came up with those things. Absolutely.
He came up with those things, and somebody not be like, he's just giving into peer pressure.
Yes. No, absolutely. I'm not saying he's not at fault for this.
But
you don't blame. Okay, to put it in terms of villainy, Ross is nothing but a henchman, right? He's your odd job. He's your minions from the Minion movie. He's, I'm trying to think of other, he's your Igor, right? You don't blame him for doing the evil things. You blame the puppet master behind the scenes. And as we go through, you're going to see that is ultimately Chandler.
Okay,
friends too, they influence him, but it's going to come down to Chandler in the end.
Oh my God. I cannot get behind this theory. Okay. Mostly because Chandler is one of my favorite characters, but also because, okay. So Ross is supposed to be the most educated of the group, right?
Sure.
He's supposed to be the smartest man of the group.
He's the oldest one.
He thinks it's smart to take relationship advice from a person that has is completely phobic of commitment. He has a huge fear of commitment. And the other one has, a different type of problem with commitment, okay? Is like a serial dater. Okay. And these are the two people that he looks to and is like, oh, give me advice about my longstanding relationship. You can't do that. You have to understand where your advice is coming from. Okay. As a smart person, like if I'm dating, okay, and I have certain friends, we all have those friends where you go, okay, if I go ask them for advice, I know what it's going to be. Okay, and I know it's going to be wrong because of their own history.
Don't do what Johnny Don't does. My favorite thing is some people in life just serve to be a bad example. And I, Rebecca, 100% agree with you, but you got to take a look at Ross's backstory here, right? When the series begins, like season one, episode one, Ross is getting divorced, right?
Yes, first of three.
His wife has discovered that she is a lesbian and she leaves him for another woman and they are pregnant with his child. Like, that's a mind fuck of a thing. Like Ross is a guy who thought that he had had it figured out. He thought he had figured out all these long-term relationships, right? And then his marriage falls apart. So he doesn't know how to trust. He doesn't know... he's got to second guess everything that he's ever thought about relationships or how they work, right? So in the exact situation that you just said is you have friends that you would go to for advice and you would know that. Before the series starts, that's Ross. Ross is the person that Chandler would have gone to and be like, man, your marriage worked out. That's so great. Like, look at you. You're all married. What do I have to do? And Ross would give that advice. So from day one in the series, we all of a sudden see that Ross is just put into a tailspin. And now he's going to, he's literally thinking, if everything I thought was right is now wrong, I'm going to have to go and listen to these other people. Does that absolve him of responsibility? No, but...
He's just dragging his damage through everybody's life.
What? And so after the Ross and Rachel get together, there's this scene, and this is very disturbing to me, where Rachel gets her first, like, big job, right?
Oh, this is one of the worst. I hate this.
It's her first day, and he goes, you know what? I'm going to come down there, and I can take you out for lunch. And first of all, don't do that. I'm not defending doing any of this. First day of work, you just let your significant other be, right? Their boss might be taking them out for lunch.
They're their own person. They're an individual that needs to figure shit out.
Yeah, their boss could be taking them out for lunch as a first day, right? Or your coworkers could want to get to know you in the cafeteria. Like, first day, no. Right? Don't do that. Rachel says... you know, don't come and all the rest. I'm getting the two things confused because both of these happen at work. But he learns about Mark, right? Because Mark answers the phone. Right.
Okay. So essentially what happens with this Mark storyline is that Mark gets Rachel the job. As soon as Ross finds out about this, Ross goes, oh, well, I guess Mark is looking for a little sex. Okay. And that is his 100% first response to this is, oh, I guess Mark's looking for a little sex, okay? Which is a horrible thing to say to somebody that just got a job, okay? And their dream job and what they wanted, okay? Who gives a fuck if he's trying to have sex with your girlfriend? It is up to her. I'm sorry, have we not heard of something called consent, okay? There has to be some consent. And if she's with you, it's fine, okay? You can fucking relax. All right. He then starts kind of showing up around the office. Okay. Yeah. Makes a few scenes. Okay. At one point, he thinks Mark is like making out with Rachel when it's actually his girlfriend that he has. Okay. Yeah. So
dressed suspiciously the same, but yes.
Yes. Everyone relax. Okay. Makes a scene and then decides on their anniversary because she has to work late because there's been some sort of shipping kerfuffle. Okay. He comes down. Sets a fire to her desk, okay? Gets couscous out, pepper shaker. She's got the whole nine yards. I'm coming to you. Even though she already told him no, he said at multiple points he sends a quartet to go sing for
her. A barbershop quartet, yeah.
He sends balloons, flowers, chocolates.
Yep.
And it makes me want to crawl inside of myself. Every time I watch this episode, it makes me, I die a little bit inside. This is horrible.
Rebecca, horrible. Absolutely. Those are shitty things to do. I'm not saying anybody should do it, but do you know who told Ross to do that? Guess who told Ross to do it? It's Joey and Chandler. They're sitting there going, she's probably making out with him right now. You got to go down there and show that you're like assert yourself and go. Terrible advice. Absolutely. Absolutely. But it is not Ross's idea. That idea is put into his head by specifically in this case, Joey and Chandler.
Okay. We're gonna get to a few points where you can't make that point. I promise you.
But and here's another one that I'm gonna put up here. So this is an episode. We obviously didn't watch all of them. We didn't rewatch every. Maybe you did. I did.
I was real close. I was honestly really close. I was probably like two seasons out. I didn't watch the last two seasons, but I watched like the key episodes I needed to watch for those.
And we took a big swath of them. But there was one episode where I was like, this is one that you need to see because this highlights mine. So this is after they get back from UK. And Chandler and Monica are together, but they're not telling anybody about it.
Mm-hmm.
Joey has figured it out, right? And some weird stuff starts happening where Rachel finds underwear in the girl's apartment, and they're like, whose is this? Rachel sees Joey with like a camera and candle set up at... And this is all things that Monica and Chandler are doing. And they ask Joey to cover for them. And the whole time, they are letting their other friends think that Joey is a pervert. Like, that he's taking naked pictures of Monica, that he's taking his underwear off in their house. And they're just like, you have to do this. You have to do this. And this is the episode where I had the turn on Chandler. Because I was like, every other time before this, it's been Chandler and Joey working together to be the worst influence on Ross that could possibly exist. And then in this episode, you see that Chandler is willing to have his friends think less of another friend to completely destroy the reputation that Joey has within the friend group in order to keep a secret that three out of the six friends already know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that lie has a time limit. That lie has a time limit. They know they're going to come out. They know they're going to be like, hey, remember this thing? Oh, that was actually us. And that was actually us. And that was actually us. So, I mean, all you're really asking Joey to do is... I don't know, be the pervert that he is for two weeks.
But he's not that pervert. He's not the guy who is taking naked pictures of one of his closest friends without...
Yeah, but he has a lot of dark timelines that you don't... You know what I mean? Little jokes and little drops of like, oh yeah, he took the shower curtain off when I moved in. Okay, that's not...
Yeah. I'm still going to call it
though. I think that's the worst.
That is a heinous thing to do. Don't be wrong. I understand asking someone to cover, like, keep your secret. Like, hey, listen, we're something new. We don't want everybody to know about us right away. Can you just keep this to yourself? I understand that. But any good friend, especially how close these friends are supposed to be, the second that it becomes that you have to denigrate or embarrass yourself or embarrass that other person rather than come out and just say, actually, you know what? It's me and Monica. We're dating. That to me is too much.
I would agree with you if it didn't have an expiry date.
But I don't know. I guess I'm just like a lie like that could really ruin Joey. You know what I mean? Like,
for sure. I'm just trying to disagree with you, Craig.
What's that?
I said, I'm just trying to disagree with
you. I know. so that's why I picked that episode, is because I think that is a goddamn terrible thing. And that's where Chandler pulls ahead of Joey in the horrible influence pack.
Mm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That is, was that the sandwich episode?
That is the sandwich episode. And also okay. a point at which we see Ross is in clear need of mental help. Like, that man is losing it.
That was one of the only times I've ever agreed with Ross. So I'm like, you don't fuck with a man's sandwich. You don't mess with somebody. Watching that was probably the most mad, other than the season finale, that's the most mad I've been in Friends. I'm like, who would have the audacity to eat a man's sandwich and then sit across from him and be like, well, it was a very big sandwich. I threw some of it out. I'm like, I probably would have launched in a similar fashion.
Yeah, and if I'm that guy, first of all, why are you eating food that's in the fridge that isn't yours?
That's labeled. That's labeled.
But also, even if it's not labeled,
yeah,
you
true.
Didn't bring that
true.
Food. That's not yours. Like, I understand if it's like, you know, a 24-pack of Coca-Cola or something like that, mm-hmm. and you're like, I guess this is office stuff. Or, you know, the odd accident might happen where you've got the same Tupperware and you grab the wrong thing and like, they were both pastas and you didn't realize it. But to go in and eat somebody's lunch is, you brought that shit from home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know how much earlier that person had to get up to make a lunch, put it in the fridge?
I just don't think you fuck with people's food.
No,
you don't mess
you don't.
With people's food. It's very wrong. Okay. And that hit me on a very deep level also because I'm a big fan of the after Thanksgiving leftover sandwich. Okay. Yeah. It is king of sandwiches. Yep. It is the best. And I look forward to it every year.
Yeah. A little. My problem with Thanksgiving sandwiches is I never know which one to make. Because, like, I'm a big fan of like the turkey, mayo, lettuce, like that classic.
Oh, dang.
But I'm also a big fan of the like just turkey and cranberry. You know what I mean?
I am turkey gravy all the way. I'm getting those breads soaked, okay? It is a filthy sandwich what I eat. Oh, man, yeah,
well,
I'm
not going to judge. Like, our family literally had a delicacy called bread and gravy. It's exactly what it is.
Delicacy?
My grandpa would just take a slice of bread and pour gravy over it. And that was that, and we're like, bread and gravy. That's a meal, and that's fine.
Yeah, I would get along with that man. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Bread and gravy is really all we truly need. So I would say, yeah, that's probably one of the only points where I actually agree with Ross. But we have to talk about the main one. Okay, we were on a break.
We were on a break. Yes, we've been dancing around it.
Have to talk about that. Okay, it is one of the most iconic things from the whole series.
Yes, and by the way, one of my favorite ongoing jokes in the and I think a lot of TV series, just they didn't overdo it. It would just come out occasionally, mm-hmm. and it was always to me the funniest thing because it's like the show understood that debate never ended.
Oh, yeah. And it never ended with people either. I used to work with these kitchen guys, and one time one of the servers walked in, and they were big dudes, and they were screaming at each other. And they got really uncomfortable, and they're like, well, guys, what's going on here? And one of them just yelled, they were on a break. They were arguing about Friends. This is a real thing, okay?
So, Rebecca, what side are you on?
I think you know. I think you know which side I'm on. This whole storyline is the worst, okay? It is a nightmare to me. Every part of it, I don't like any part of it. From the start of, okay, so it starts with him going down to her office and making a huge scene, okay? Point one, you're wrong for sure, okay? You're wrong from Jump Street. And he does not recognize that at all. Like, shows up and is like, I thought you were going to apologize to me.
Yeah, that's a bit of a dick move.
Oh, frosty. Real frosty. We're not reading the room right now. Okay? Then, after being, you know what, I feel like Rachel had no other options. She told him time and time again, You have to stop doing this. You have to stop being so jealous. He brings up Mark again. Is this about Mark? And she's at her limit. We need to take a break. We need to take a time out. Okay.
Yep.
So to be fair, she says, we need to take a break.
She does.
Ross then leaves. Okay. Gets upset, whatever, goes out to have a few drinks, calls Rachel, and hears Mark in the background because Mark comes over with Chinese food because Rachel's all upset.
Yeah, which is, that's all questionable, but we're not talking about Mark right now. Yeah.
That is questionable, but again, there's, if you have zero trust from point one, then like, why even get back together? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So he hears that and then takes this as an excuse to just, I don't know, lose emotional control. Okay. And then he sleeps with the hot girl from the Xerox place.
Yes.
Rachel then calls him the next morning, says, this is ridiculous. Let's talk through this. I don't want to break up. Da 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 da. He feels the same way. And while she's still in the house, okay, his Xerox lady, Rachel comes over to say hello and how you doing? And she was there in the apartment. Okay, he says nothing.
Yep.
He then, okay, tries to cover his tracks.
He does try to cover his tracks. And you know whose idea it was to cover their tracks? It was Chandler. Chandler's
Ross
the guy.
Has no backbone. I refuse to yes. put this all on Joey and Chandler.
So in that situation, so first of all, I would, is that a shitty situation? Absolutely. Do I agree that technically they were on a break? Yes.
Okay. Right? I want to be crystal clear on this yes. point, because this is, I believe this is the most important part of this. Okay. Yes. Do you agree that it's fine that he slept with that girl?
No.
Okay.
I agree that that is. So if you, the timing is weird, because if it's literally like less than 24 hours, right? If you'd been like, you know what, we need to take a break. It's been a week. You sleep with somebody, another week goes by, and then you decide to get back together. I think you're in the clear there. Right?
But it's like he tripped out of the apartment and his Absolutely. Dick fell in her. It Absolutely. Was 10 seconds.
So in a technical sense, they weren't together when he slept with her. Is it a shit situation? Yes. Is that a mistake Ross made? Absolutely. But once again, I think that the worst crime in all of this is that he lied about it or tried to cover it up, right? Because what that does is that shows that that demonstrates that you understand that it's not correct, right? Like if you're lying to your partner about, say, who you're hanging out with, as an example, right?
Oh, yeah.
Even though there's nothing that's going on, it's like clearly you're lying about being with that person because you think that it's inappropriate to be out with that person or I mean, it could be that they're assholes and don't want you being with anyone, but that's aside the point. Right? So that's the biggest thing. And that all falls on Joey and Chandler, who tell him, it's like Ross wants to tell the truth. He goes, I've got to tell Rachel. I don't want this hanging over our head because I want to start something new with her. And they go, you absolutely can't. That's going to screw everything up. So you need to go retrace your steps, cover all this up, and hope that she never, ever finds out about it. So once again, dumb, dumb Ross. I'm not saying he didn't make a mistake. I'm not saying he's not totally at fault for that. But the far worse crime to me was covering it up and trying to be deceitful about it.
Okay.
And that all falls mostly on Chandler.
All right, I'm going to lay another one on you here.
All right.
Okay. What about when Ross and Rachel get married in Vegas and he hides the fact that he didn't get it annulled because he doesn't want to have three divorces? Was that Joey and Chandler? Correct? The puppeteers?
This is the point at which I start arguing that the monster that they have created is this relentless upon the world. Rebecca, you don't blame.
You got to give me this one. You got to give me this one. Okay. I can give you a couple of the other ones. Okay. You are swaying me a bit. But
do you blame Frankenstein's monster for throwing a girl in a lake? No. You blame Dr. Frankenstein.
Sweet Jesus.
No, it's a
He tells her he gets it annulled and doesn't tell her.
That's a real shit thing to do. I'm not
married. Married. And he's like, oh, I just kind of hope that maybe, you know, it'll work out or like we'll get back together or whatever. He is an emotional mess 24 hours a day. He never says what he wants. He lies all the time. He lies to all of his girlfriends, by the way, not just Rachel. He lied to Mona about living with Rachel. He lied to Charlie about being fine with Joey and Rachel's relationship. Yeah. He lied to Julie. He cheated on Julie. He cheated on, I can't remember her name, but the Phoebe's bald friend. Every time Ross and Rachel seem to get geared up again, Ross is actually like literally cheating on somebody at the time. And we're supposed to think that this other girl is not supposed to be here. And she's kind of like stepping all over Rachel's toes. And it's like, no, this woman's wonderful. Okay, and probably way better for Ross than Rachel ever was, because Rachel isn't a strong, independent woman, or at least that's what the series was leading me to believe. Yeah. Okay.
Although I will differ slightly on the bald girlfriend, the one who shaves her head at the beach house is who you're talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Because in my dating experience, they kind of set her up as this like wild and freaky, like sexual, like, you know, she's very, very sexual, right? And
yes.
Always has like sex stories and stuff like that. In my experience, the girl who is all
spicy,
like wild and crazy like that, and will also shave her head at the mention of it, that is not going to work out long term. You know what I mean?
That girl deserves to be cheated on?
No, she doesn't deserve to be cheated on.
To a beach house where she doesn't know anybody and then get broken up with?
No, this
After
is
you've already made out with your ex-girlfriend? Come on.
No. Rebecca, pull this analysis completely out of the rest of the show. I'm just saying that girl's crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that is fun.
Though.
That is fun for a couple weeks, and then you go, oh, this is crazy.
Yeah, okay.
Like the combination of shave my head the moment someone mentions it and all the other stuff. It's just like, oh, nope, I know exactly what kind of person you are. But no, does not deserve to be cheated on. Does not deserve,
Yeah, what about Julie? She didn't deserve to get dogged like that. You know what I mean?
Which one was
Julie? They bought an animal. Julie was the girl that he came back with from China.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. He is a emotional steamroller, okay? He just steamrolls over everybody he dates. He uses them. Like, sometimes he has specifically dated women to make Rachel jealous like he is 16 years old. Like, he literally picks up an insane woman. This woman just got dumped, okay? She is super emotionally vulnerable and picks her up just for the purpose of making Rachel uncomfortable because he saw her kiss another man.
Oh, yeah,
and she was willing to come in and have an adult conversation about it, and he brings this woman in like, see, look what I'm doing.
Oh, the crazy
look what
girl
I'm
picks
doing
up in
now.
The coffee shop and who's like, we've only known each other for like an hour and a half.
Yes!
Yeah.
I'm your new mommy. Yeah. Okay, she's crazy. This is emotionally manipulative. This is insane. He gets a message, okay, from a guy, okay, because they're supposed to live together and they're supposed to be open and honest, okay, and have a nice agreement. And he literally hides a message from another man from her.
Yes.
Okay. It's her decision. She gets to decide what she's doing, okay?
Absolutely.
What is this? You know what I mean? Like, put Rachel in that situation, okay? Rachel, when she had feelings for Ross, she went over and heard a message from Emily and accidentally deleted it. And she still told Ross immediately. Yeah. Was like, I need to tell you about this because I don't want to hide anything from you. Ooh, who do you think's the better person? That's the same. Both of those things are the same situation, and Rachel handled it so much better than Ross.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I will say later season Ross becomes more and more unhinged. And
yes.
Again, I'm going to place that on. I can't believe I'm going to try and do this. I'm going to place that on Chandler. or at least the other friends. Because Ross is clearly not having a good go of things. But at no point does any of them suggest therapy or trying to help him. And in fact, if anything, they all pull away from Ross, right? They pull away, like Chandler pulls away because he's dating Monica, so they become closer, right? Joey and Rachel have the thing at a certain point. Like, they all kind of pull away, and they just, the last couple seasons are just kind of watching Ross spiral out of control. And I think they should have, the role that they took in forming all of these incredibly toxic and bad habits, I think they need to step up and kind of pull him back from the brink on this. I didn't say I was going to win this argument, Rebecca. I just said I was going to make it.
Here's what I think Ross is, okay? Ross has only child syndrome, but he has a sister.
Yes.
Okay. He has been treated like he's an only child his entire life, and he acts as such. When he doesn't get what he wants, he's not emotionally prepared to deal with what happens and not emotionally prepared to execute it properly. Okay. He doesn't know how to vocalize on his feelings. He Nope. thinks he deserves everything that he wants, okay, even at the expense of others and at the expense of people he loves. I could go down a list of things. He's whiny. He thinks he can beat up everybody. That's a weird quality. He dated one of his students and thought that it was just something that was frowned upon from the school. How dumb are you? That is the grossest timeline. Oh my God. And they try and paint this girl like, oh yeah, obviously I had to break up with her. She's so immature. And it's like, yeah. And so are you for dating her, you disgusting man.
He is incredibly immature. And I think one could even argue he's not quite right socially anyway. Like, I'm sure he's a very intelligent man, but I think he's socially stunted or maladjusted. I think there is something inherently wrong with him where he can't relate to people on a regular level. And like, another example of how kind of disconnected he is from that, and therefore I'm going to argue not criminally responsible, is when Rachel has her baby and Joey accidentally proposes to her. Mm-hmm. And there's this moment where there's all this confusion going around because it's Ross's ring and Ross didn't propose and all the rest. But there's this thing where Phoebe is like, well, did you propose to her? And he doesn't know. He goes, I don't know.
I think I did.
Maybe. That sounds like something I'd do. Like, maybe he has short-term memory loss. I don't know. Maybe that's why he acts the way he acts, but I don't know.
I don't know, man. He goes in to Rachel's place of work to try and convince her old work to pay her more so she'll stay, and then goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth without ever letting her know. Okay, and
yeah, really
does
good.
Get her a better deal, okay? But at any point, that could have broken down, okay? He could have lost her both jobs. Like, he's literally meddling in her life and not telling her about it, okay? Not involving her.
Yeah.
It's insane what this guy thinks he's allowed to do in other people's lives, okay? He thinks he's the puppet master, okay?
No, he's not. He is the puppet. He is the puppet. Even going back
to... Yes, but he thinks he is.
Okay, fair enough. He thinks he's in control and he is not. He's at the influence of women. Even going back to him refusing to divorce Rachel.
Ugh.
That all stems from the fact that Phoebe points out that he's now the divorce guy, that is his thing. And Chandler goes in and makes a joke about how, oh, you're going to need a divorce lawyer. I think Ross already has one. Now, those are all kind of pretty funny jokes. Does that absolve him of any responsibility in that case?
I don't think so.
No, absolutely not.
No!
But you can see how all the psyche that's built up is all built up by his, I'm using air quotes here, friends who are projecting all these things onto him, right? Ross doesn't want to get a divorce because he's afraid that his friends are going to think that he's a fuck up because his friends told him that he's a fuck up for needing to get a divorce. You see what I'm saying? I don't know. As I said, I don't think I'm going to win this one.
I don't know. I will say this. The episode where him and Janice get together and at the end she breaks up with him because he's too whiny. That is like, mwah. That is just the perfect episode for me because I'm like, so finally, somebody saying the truth.
Somebody said it, yeah.
Somebody is speaking on it. And I do like that self-realization of, wait, you, Janice, think I'm too whiny. Oh my God.
Well, and I think Janice is probably that the person who, and I'm sure we all have people like this, who like comes into your social circle and you're like, they were weird or they weren't, we kind of made fun of them or something like that. And then you realize, oh no, they were better than us in that situation. Like they,
yeah, like they knew, they actually saw what was happening.
Their trajectory was just on the up and you happen to be catching a ride. Yeah. And like her life seems to be going better and better every time
that
we check in with her. Right. It's all, Janice is great.
Girl's getting it. Plus, I honestly, and I'm not being sarcastic, I love her wardrobe. I love it. Okay. The amount of leopard print, all of it. I want to own every piece that she has and wear them never together. That's what I want.
Fair enough.
If I could say one other thing, and this is totally not having to do with anybody evil or anything. It's just a note that I made, and I think everybody makes when we watch this show. And I just wanted to get your opinion on it.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on with Ross and Monica's relationship?
What do you mean? Like they're too close?
Yes. Okay. And I know you have a sister.
I have two.
So like maybe, and I have a brother, so like, I just don't know if it's like different families or something like that, but like they literally like hold hands, sit on each other's laps. Like there's certain things they do where I'm like, this is insane to me. This is insane.
no, like, don't get me wrong. Like that's not a thing that I would ever do, but it's also like different families, like express things differently. Like certain families will be far more physically affectionate to each other, even as adults.
Like when they kiss on the lips.
Oh yeah, like don't kiss on the lips. That's but like. But rewatching this, I was like, it struck me as being kind of weird that like you have the same friend groups as adult siblings. But I mean, you know, that's not uncommon either. Like.
No, my brother's actually dating somebody that was in like my high school friend group.
Sure, yeah.
So it's like happens, it's weird, right? When I go to town now, I see all of them, and like my brother's there, and I'm like, oh, this is. I guess we're gonna get drunk together.
Exactly, and I think the closer you are in age, the easier that happens. So.
Oh yeah, for sure. I love my brother, but
rewatching it, there wasn't really any moments where I was like, that's. A little too much? I don't know.
Maybe it's just me. We're very British in my family. Like, I do not hug my brother. You know what I mean? Like, we do not have physical contact, okay? That would be weird.
Except if you're beating each other up.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that was pretty much shut down at age 13, I think, for myself. As soon as he got larger than me, my parents were like, all right, he's going to murder you.
We got
to
stop this.
Yeah, we got to stop this shit.
I will say it's crazy that Monica turned out so well adjusted, considering.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Their parents are messed up.
They are. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think I would be
They're
able
fun
to
characters,
handle that.
Though. I really do characters. Enjoy having them on the show. I do. There is one friend that we've barely mentioned in all of this. And I do want to bring them up because I think it also shines a light on how unhealthy all the rest of the friends' relationships are. And that is Phoebe. So Phoebe, I think, is the hero of this show.
Oh, so do I. Phoebe's my favorite. I love her.
Yeah. But not only just because she's cool, she's the only one who never dated anybody within the friend group.
Oh, so true.
She's, I think, again, I'm getting the ages mixed up. I think she's like one of the older ones, right? Like she's older
She's 1 year older than everybody else.
Okay. So she's had some more life experience. She was lived on the street as a kid. She's been homeless. Like she's really built up her life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
From nothing. She was orphaned and all the rest. And she, I feel, even though she's a good friend and is always hanging around it, there is always this suggestion that she has this life outside of those other five people that she is living, that she, and she is almost trying to be the good influence on these five terrible people. You know, like, you know those, I'm sure you got friends where you're like, I'm going to come in here because you need a little voice of reason, or you need someone to take the crazy down, and I'm willing to be that friend, but I'm not going to I'm not going to get too deep in with you. That's Phoebe.
Oh, I feel like I probably have more of those people than I am that person, but yes, I do agree. If I'm just being honest. Sometimes I really need to be talked off of a ledge, you know what I mean? Right, Craig? Have you been on the receiving end of that ever?
Yeah.
That's
maybe.
A knowing laugh, everyone. That's knowing. You do not want to hear what we're talking about when we're not recording.
I will say, after every recording, I would usually... the subway was frequently down, so I would drive Rebecca home after we had spent like 4 hours talking to each other recording these. And Rebecca, I gotta say, I miss those conversations because those got interesting.
Yeah, that's when we have a real chit chat.
When we're not on public record. Let me tell you how I feel about some people. The final thing I will say about Phoebe is she's also the kind of crazy I can get behind, right? Like I'm not.
Ooh, me too.
Yeah, like I'm gonna contrast it with Gwyneth Paltrow because I'm in my mansion. I'm like this goop, you know, goop will steam your vagina. All this crazy shit. That's like this rich white privileged. Superficial spirituality and like holistic, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Phoebe, who at some point is like, I stabbed a cop. And she's like, what? He stabbed me first.
He stabbed me first.
So I am completely okay with you having kind of the worldview of like, everything's going to work out for the best. You know what I mean?
Because yeah, that's, for sure.
That just seems like that's a coping mechanism rather than an exploitation of somebody. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. She has, it's very whimsical. Somehow, even through some very violent and dark stories, it still maintains a whimsy through the whole thing. And I just think she's... Honestly, I think she's one of the best actors, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
For me, she's nailing it every week. She's so funny. And she's also somebody that some of the characters, when you watch them later, like if you rewatch this right now, some of it feels very dated. Okay. Some of the jokes feel really dated.
Very homophobic.
Transphobic, yeah. Homophobic, fatphobic. Like there's a lot of phobias happening and a lot. And again, that's a time period thing. There's not a lot of diversity on the show for sure. There are issues with this
craziness.
Show. But I find Phoebe is one of the characters that ages quite well because she doesn't seem to have. She is so whimsical that she doesn't. She's kind of a hippie and she's almost has the mentality that you're supposed to have, which is like, we're supposed to love everybody and it doesn't matter who you are. And here I like to talk to everybody in the streets and these sorts of things. She has the best aging character for me.
Yeah. And the moment that really struck me out of the episodes that we watched was the Vegas one where Joey has found his identical hand twin, which is ridiculous, and all the other characters rightfully so tell him that is ridiculous. But when he comes But when he comes and tells Phoebe, she goes, "You did?" Jealous. And like, she just accept, like, she gets told the most ridiculous thing and then doesn't judge him at all. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. She's always on board. She's always supportive of her friends. She's, yeah, I would say she's one of the characters that I wouldn't, I would definitely call her more of a hero than a villain for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing I really love, and it, I didn't rewatch it, but I just remember this, and I should be on the other side of it, is an episode where Phoebe tells Ross that she doesn't believe in gravity.
Yes!
And I was like, oh, that's so frustrating. You, because you know I'm going to be on Ross's side on that, right? But after a certain while, I'm just like, just let her have it, man. She's not hurting anybody. But it was like, and just genuinely funny. Just genuinely funny.
I love the one where she tells him that she doesn't believe in evolution. And yes. Then he brings in all this stuff to like kind of prove it. And then she goes on this big speech about how you're telling me there's not a teeny tiny chance these people are wrong. And he's like, well, yeah, I guess there is a teeny tiny chance they're wrong. And she's like, oh, I can't believe you just abandoned your whole belief system just like that. That fucking kills me every time. I'm like, yum, 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 yum. That's again, delicious.
And again, a really great influence on that group because you have Phoebe there demonstrating how wishy-washy and how uncommitted and feeble a person that Ross is, but she's like showing him that in the hopes that he's going to learn. I don't know. I'm just still trying to defend Ross.
Well, I'm done messing with them. I think we're,
yeah,
I think I've said everything I need. I'm now, mind you. Okay. We have not mentioned everything. Of course. Okay. There are a lot of other things that we could have said, but I do feel like I hit all the main points where I really, really hated them.
Yeah. And I think we covered most of the major plot points of the series. It's mostly the Ross and Rachel show.
It is.
Yeah, but if there's anything...
I will
anything,
say, aside from Chandler and Monica getting together.
Yeah.
Because that episode's iconic. Like,
and that's actually a relationship that I feel works better than Ross and Rachel, too.
Yeah. You know what's so crazy? We went through this whole episode, and at no point... This is how, honestly... And I think this is a point, okay?
Yeah.
This is how bad of a man Ross is. We went through this whole episode, and we still haven't mentioned that he said the wrong name at his own wedding. That wasn't even top tier for us,
no,
Craig.
That was just like,
wasn't
of course
top
he did.
Tier. He said Rachel's fucking name.
Yeah.
At his own wedding.
Well, okay. And then I think Emily, right? I get all his exes.
Yeah,
so
yeah, it's
I
Emily.
Think she overreacted a little bit in terms of like running away. Don't get me wrong. You're allowed to be upset. I think she overreacted a little bit about by running away. And
oh
then
no!
Not
I'm getting to step in. Fuck that! I'm out.
But no, you just married the person. You need to have a conversation. Is what I'm saying. I think if you can take anything away from this show, is have the fucking conversation. If something's uncomfortable, just have the conversation.
But you have somebody that dogs you that hard in front of your whole family, in front of all of your friends, okay, you might have a meltdown, and I think it's fine if you leave.
Oh, like you don't have to stick around the reception. I'm not saying that, but I don't think you can just then show up at the airport having not called or talked to anybody. I don't think you should invite the woman whose name you said to go on your honeymoon with you. I think that's an insane thing to do.
Oh my God, yes. I didn't even have that one written down somehow, dude. Like, that's so bad. It's like he does that all the time. He takes a bad situation and makes it so much worse, and it's very easy and clear to see what the right solution would be. And Emily's another person that they really cast as a villain in this in the Friends storyline,
right? How they're like, look at how could she possibly be,
how dare she ask this guy not to hang out with his ex-girlfriend that he said the name of at their wedding. I'm sorry. I think that's a very reasonable request. You're allowed to say no. Of course you're allowed to say no. But to paint it as an evil request is madness.
Yes.
Pure madness. I do not understand that at all. She did the most she could, in my opinion. She was going to move there. Her whole thing was like, listen, we have fresh start, okay? Fresh start. We get a fresh apartment. We get, and when they could try and paint it like, oh, well, she doesn't want to see anything that like Rachel's been sitting on and da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, no, I don't, I'm not of that opinion at all, okay? If I was moving to another continent for a guy that I wasn't 100% sure about, I don't think it's unreasonable to want to kind of nest together in a sense of like, okay, you know what? We're going to come in and it's going to be, it's not going to be your stuff. It's going to be our stuff. Absolutely. We're going to come in, start over. Let's start fresh. And he couldn't even do it for one night. He didn't even make it one night. Greg, it's not even like he like tortured himself for a little while and then was like, oh, I just couldn't possibly. He couldn't make it 24 hours. He's a dick.
I knew I was fighting the hard fight when I took this on. I'm not gonna.
Sorry, it's also, I'm just.
It's the name of the podcast, Rebecca. It's The Villain Was Right. I watched this. The villain is Ross. I've got to argue that he was right, or at least not the worst. I don't know what else to say. Ross is shit. Is that, there we go. Ross is shit.
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, I'm all out of arguments. I don't know.
Yes. So am I. I'm so glad I caught that last Emily thing. I was like, how have I not mentioned this one? I know, that's insane.
It's a laundry list. So I guess it's time to give our definitive ratings of how good the villain was. What do you got there, Rebecca?
Okay, I've got the break scale. So I've got from a Kit Kat to an iceberg launching itself into the ocean. I'm going to give Ross a work break that's been cut 10 minutes short. You're annoying and unreasonable, Ross. I don't like you.
I love how yours was just like, I don't like you. That's great. So I'm doing the in honor of Central Perk, where they hung out a lot. I'm doing the coffee scale. So from a truck stop diner, black coffee that's been sitting on the heater for like hours, all the way up to a vanilla latte. I'm gonna give Ross a shot of espresso. Because it comes out a little strong for some people, but really what enhances it and gives it its flavor is by what you surround it around. That's what makes it a latte. That's what makes it a cappuccino. That's what makes it all these different things. And it's really the outside influences that determine what it is. So I'm going to give him a shot of espresso. Is that what I'm going to do? Yeah, you're giving me like looks like... You're still not
I can't shut it off, Greg.
Can't
I'm sorry.
Shut it off. I'm not wrong. Like I'm not
shut it
I'm
off.
I'm not right is the problem. But before we get to our heroes and villains of the week, where we describe people who've inspired or disappointed us in our personal lives, a couple ways you can help the podcast.
Please like and subscribe if you haven't already done so. If you could leave us a short review, it helps us move up on the rankings, and we would really appreciate that. You can always follow us at VWR Podcast on Twitter. That is probably our most active social media account. Hit us up there so you can see when future episodes are, fun polls, fun retweets. Check it out.
Yeah, you can also check us out if you got a couple bucks and you want to help us with production costs of the podcast and stuff like that. Oh my God, we would be so grateful if you could go over to patreon.com/thevillainwasright. We have a bunch of different tiers. You can vote on audience choice episodes. So once a month, we put up a poll and you, our patrons, get to decide what we do the following month. So this past month, it was Mr. and Mrs. Smith. For next month, we're going to have a brand new poll, so you can get on and do that. And we also have bonus episodes available for you. So if you are like us and have maybe a little bit of extra time on your hands these days for whatever reason, you can check out a couple of bonus episodes. We got two every month. This month, it is The Martian and The Empire,
The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. We each do a pick, and there we go. So yeah, if you guys have it in your budget, or if you like the show, you can go ahead and check us out, patreon.com/thevillainwasright. You can also email us suggestions at villainwasright@gmail.com. So there we go. And so it is time for our heroes and villains of the week. So this week I was going to do a slight hero, which was just in honor of Friends. I did just want to mention that my heroes really have been my friends this week.
You're so cute, Craig.
Because we do a weekly Zoom call where we all see each other. And I honestly can't think of anything that's actually improved my mood through this more. So it's just, they're my heroes. But then I realized that's not funny. so I'm going to, listen, all these people out here who are trying to get in shape while we're all in quarantine, okay, let me backtrack. When I quit my job, I bought a couple free weights, okay? And I've been exercising on and off for a couple years. I get back into it, everything like that. But the biggest lie that has ever been told is that somehow working out is going to give you more energy. What kind of horseshit is this? The entire time I've been doing it, I have never felt more energized after it. I always feel like I've been hit by a fucking truck every single time. And everyone I talk to has always been like, oh, well, just keep at it. Just stick with it. And I stick with it. And I never get more energy. It's just not coming. I work out and I'm just like, I have to take a nap right afterwards because I am exhausted. All of my joints hurt all the time. I don't know who these, like... You Google how to do these exercises and people are always like, oh, proper form. Like, make sure your back's straight. And I'm like, my back is straight. They're like, no, it's not. I was like, well, then my back has never been straight my entire life. Who are these fucking geniuses that know where more than one part of their body is placed at any one time? I can't do that. You know, I've left my foot resting on the corner of a coffee table long enough that when I stand up, I can't stand anymore. Like it's got crease on the bottom.
Yeah.
So how are you supposed to be aware of what angle your elbows are at? Come on. And don't strain your neck while doing exercises. I honestly, Rebecca, I do not know how that is possible. Every time, as far as I'm concerned, my neck muscles are connected to every single other muscle in my entire body. Every time I move something, it strains my neck. Sleeping strains my neck. I'm straining my neck right now as I'm talking. Like, as I'm talking, I can feel the muscles in my neck. So I'm just like... Craig's weird body, everything is broken, nothing lines up properly, and so I'm gonna call exercise my villain of the week there.
You're so funny. I mean, I feel the same way. My neck's fucked all the time, but I just continually assume it's because I have a really fat head. It's true, I have a fat head, okay? There's no way around it. I know this of myself, okay? I got a fat freaking head. And I feel like a bobblehead some of the time. Sometimes I'm like, it takes a lot to keep this thing afloat, okay? So you might just have the same problem I do, Craig.
Maybe. Just
we're probably just on the computer heads. Too much. Yeah, just big old bobblehead for myself this week. I don't know why I was thinking about this week, but probably because I miss stand-up so much. But I was thinking about the first competition I was ever in for stand-up. And... when you don't do comedy, essentially, like, these competitions, they're all kind of bullshit, and we all know they're bullshit, right? Very rarely does the best person win. There's a lot of politics in it, that sort of thing, what have you. So we all kind of know going in. It's just like, okay, just do your best and hope for the best, and if it doesn't work out, that's chill. It was my first competition, and I was super nervous because I was really, I think it was like 1-2 years in tops. Anyway, so I was like, okay, here's what I'm going to do to calm myself, because I had like a thing that I used to do when I wanted to calm myself down before a really big set. I would go across the road. It was at Absolute Comedy in Ottawa. I went across the road and I got 2 beers at the Heart and Crown. Okay, I'd get 2 bottles of beer because at that time I would drink quite a bit. So 2 bottles of beer for me was like, ooh, we got a nice tiny little buzz going, right? So I show up and I think I'm maybe 1 of 2 women on this show. I'm like, okay, I really have to smash this, like, whatever. I go up and I just feel electric. Like, I'm like, I'm rolling, I'm killing these people, right? Like, I'm so happy with myself as this is happening, because I'm like, this is my first competition. This is a big deal. I get off stage and like people are literally telling me, they're like, oh, you're moving on. Like, you're moving on for sure. That was an amazing set. Da 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 da. So great, right? So I am in my head, I am convinced. I'm like, I'm moving on. This is gonna be insane. Okay, I'm gonna be young, I'm gonna be in the mix, things are gonna be great for me. And we get to the end of the night, and they're calling people's names, and my name doesn't get called. And I'm sitting in the back. I'm like, what the fuck? Fuck these people. I cannot, the audacity not to move me on. And I'm like in the, and I'm like mad. I'm not letting anybody know because I'm not a dick. You know what I mean? I'm not like, oh, it should have been me. Okay. I'm internalizing all of these things, obviously. But I'm like, okay, you know what? Whatever. Like, fuck these people, these villains. How dare they? How dare they do this to me? Right. I'm super pissed. Okay. Anyway, 2-3 weeks goes by, and one of the nice things about this competition was that they would send you a professional video afterwards of your set. So I'm like, okay, at least I get this video. You know what I mean? I get it. It's nice, crisp. It's like HD. They get a couple of angles, perfect sound. I'm fucking pumped to get it. Anyway, they send me the set, and I watch the set, and oh boy, howdy, did they make the right decision. Oh my God, dude, I was swearing every other second. Okay, you could tell how nervous I was because it was fuck shit, fuck shit, fuck shit. But I'm like, I'm amazed they didn't cut my mic. Like, how did they let me finish? So all this to say is sometimes things are not how you perceive them. And it's always good to go back and run tape. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just check yourself out. Because sometimes you're wrong, okay? I was wrong. I was so wrong. They were not wrong. I was wrong. Good grief.
Yeah,
it was real bad, Craig.
That's a lesson we've all learned, I think,
at
some point.
It makes me, like, I've been going through my files recently, and I saw it, and I watched like 2 minutes of it and I had to turn it off. I was so stressed. I could not finish it.
Oh, terrible memory. Yeah, we've all been there, I think. Yeah, something in retrospect, we're like, oh no, no, they made the right choice. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good call, good call, good call.
Well, I think that does it for us. Rebecca, where can people find you?
You can find me at Rebecca Reads at any social medias of your choosing.
Yeah, and you can follow me at Craig Faye Comedy on Twitter, Craig Faye Comedy on Facebook, craigfaye.com for updates. And that's been us for The Villain Was Right this week. Next week, we have one of our first ever requests that was made to the podcast. We're finally getting around to it. We're doing Flight of the Navigator, a Disney movie. So make sure you check that out and check us out next week. And until then, this has been The Villain Was Right, reminding you that we were on a break.
The Villain Was Right was produced by Andrew Rivamy for the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as YouTube series, webcomics, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.